Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Hitting you out of the gate here on Fox Sports Radio. Happy Friday, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Today's Friday.
As we are getting set for the day of the year in college football, we have a big precursor, a nice big appetizer tonight. That is a big deal, depending on how things go tomorrow. Also, we have our big upset specials in the NFL this weekend. Got some big stuff coming your way. Right now at halftime, the Pac-12 championship game in front of dozens of fans in Vegas, Utah leads Oregon 23-0. 17th ranked Utes have been all over the Ducks. They were up 7-0 in the first quarter, and then this really told you what kind of first half it was for Oregon.
Brown's got time, fires over the middle, intercepted. It's picked off. That's Devin Lloyd. Touchdown. 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 A pick six for Devin Lloyd.
All right, it was only one touchdown, right? It's only one. Only counts for one. He said it about eight times. Only one touchdown.
Touchdown. Damn it, that's punctuating
touchdown.
It right there.
A pick six.
It's like he was had a punching bag. Touchdown. Touchdown. Like he'd given one up, and now he was taking out his frustrations on the heavy bag.
I was waiting for him to yell, Lloyd, just like Ari Gold in Entourage. Devin Lloyd's 34-yard pick, because that is the Utah radio network on the call, gave them a 14-0 lead, and it is a dominant 23-0 lead at halftime right now. And, you know, we look at this game, and here's why this game is a big deal, right? Because you know that the College Football Playoff Committee places a heavy emphasis on winning your conference. Right, you need to do a lot if you don't win your conference. It's hard for them to send a one or two loss non-conference winning team into the playoff. Now, we don't know what we're going to get tomorrow. Now, I like to think I know what's going to happen, and you know we're going to get Georgia's going to move on, but if Alabama loses, there's going to be extra spots. And if we get chaos tomorrow and a couple of teams lose, who are they going to look at to fill the void if you get Iowa upsetting Michigan? And I can say this because my wife isn't here right now, because she would come into the room and just stab me in the back with a fork. Like, if you get Iowa upsetting Michigan and Alabama losing to Georgia and Cincinnati losing, if you get that, how are they going to fill the rest of those three spots, right? It'll be Georgia, Notre Dame, most likely the winner between Oklahoma State and Baylor, which is a two-loss Big 12 champion, and either Iowa, who would be the Big Ten champion with two losses, and they would jump up from 13 probably to 4, or Oregon if they win this game. Now, Oregon needs a lot of help, and look, they need more help.
They had 65 yards of offense.
Yeah, they need a lot of help.
He threw one of the worst interceptions. Yeah. I mean, this was worse than what you saw from your guy Taysom Hill last night.
Yeah, no, it's they need help everywhere. I mean, and not only that are they dealing with that, they're dealing with the fact that Mario Cristobal may be coaching the second half in Miami.
You got that.
So there is that.
He's on a beach in Miami for the second half.
Yeah.
Or maybe the kid that wins the upcoming, because this is the most thrilling part of the game, Jason. The Dr. Pepper throw for a scholarship thing is coming up. Maybe guy can coach. Or maybe he can go play quarterback.
Why coach? Let him go play. I mean, they have no points.
He or she can go play quarterback.
Yeah, no, that's what they need right now. No, but seriously, this is why it's a big deal, because this is why what college football will take, because they like the conference champions. And if you need those things to happen, I'm not saying, oh, suddenly, but if Alabama, Cincinnati, Michigan lose, and you're playing the games tomorrow, they want to take conference champions. And even with two losses, you know, the Big 12 conference champion, if it's Baylor, the Pac-12 conference champion, if it's Oregon, they want to take them. So that's why tonight this knocks a team out of the running, where now there's more wiggle room if a team like if you see a team like Baylor win. They don't have to worry about getting leapfrogged by Oregon. So this takes a potential playoff team out, even though there is a way to go, simply because that's how college football likes to do it.
Well, that's the insanity of it, right? Is if they decide that the championship is everything, you go two-loss teams all the way down to 16. And then you've still got teams like San Diego State, Houston, both one-loss teams, hanging around down there in the late teens, early 20s. I'm looking at that Alabama-Georgia game. That's, I think, everything to this equation. Iowa and Michigan, will break it down because why we have to get some upset special picks, and I think those are the two games we're probably going to focus on if I read the room properly. And Notre Dame, you know, everybody watching the video of new coach with the players and their that was really the indictment of Brian Kelly. We love this guy so much. Beat it, Kelly. Even though Kelly at one point was like, yeah, this guy's going to be the next coach. Well, he didn't think it was going to happen less than a year later. But Cincinnati's game, that's one, it's not really being talked about. It's like the presumptive victory, and that's why I brought Houston up with their 11-1. But they're 21st. There's no way. Even if they win, they jump all the way up. Do they?
No.
I mean, you know, to go into your championship and, you know, winning your conference championship.
Yeah, but it's a Power Five. They want to put the Power Five winners in. And that's why, who do we take when we can't take one of those other teams? And that's why, we're going to look at who's the Big 12 champ. Can we make a case for them? Who's the Pac-12 champ? Can we make a case for them? Now, you need a lot of that to happen.
Sure.
And but still, it is out there for that to go on, because if you get just one of those teams losing, right, let's just say one out of Alabama, Michigan, or Cincinnati lose, right, if Baylor wins the Pac-12 tomorrow and they're Pac-12 champ with two losses, guess who's getting that slot? Guess who's getting that fourth slot? It's Baylor.
No, Notre Dame's getting that.
That's going to happen. Well, you're right. Notre Dame would get that.
Notre Dame's getting that slot. They're,
right, but
especially Barta, for all that he had to say at the beginning of the week, as you came to the end of it and you saw all of that today, it's like, all right, I think they'll be okay. Because, right, usually a coach leaves and like, I don't know what kind of environment we're going to have. That was all staged to show the committee, blank you, we're fine. Let's go. We don't need him.
Yeah, no, what I meant to say, if two of those teams lose, then Baylor's getting that slot. Because, yes, Notre Dame is sitting, they'll be the first beneficiary of it. But if two teams lose, then Baylor's getting that. And that's that's chaos, I get it, but this has kind of been the season for college football.
Does the Buckeye brand mean enough?
They can't put a two-loss non-conference champion team in.
They could.
They could.
It is a TV show.
They can't do it. You say you're not going to take the conference champion or the team that beat them. You're going to take the other team with two losses that didn't even make it that far.
I think that's would be a great heel turn and a great WWE finish to a college football season.
I'll tell you. I'll give you one step more here. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Carpet here at Fox Sports Radio. Cincinnati still needs help to get into the playoff, right? We told you this three weeks ago.
I think you're right. Absolutely.
Cincinnati, number one, they need to win, obviously. If they lose, they're done, right? But okay. They need Alabama to lose, because if Alabama loses, you're talking about a two-loss Alabama team that's lost to Georgia twice. They're out of the playoff, right? They're not getting in. So that means Cincinnati would be safe. Because if you get an Oklahoma State win over Baylor in the Big 12 championship game, and everything goes according to plan, right? Let's say Georgia beats or Georgia wins, Michigan wins, and then you see Notre Dame would rise up if you see a loss there, right? Let's just say that happens. If it comes down to that fourth spot for Oklahoma State and Cincinnati, guess who's getting it? Oklahoma State. Because they could give that spot to Cincinnati, but are you really going to give a one-loss Power 5 conference champion the boot over Cincinnati? That's not going to happen. You would see a playoff expansion announced tomorrow after that. Hey, congratulations, Cincinnati makes it. Oh, wait, I'm getting this in. Oh, there's playoff expansion now because a one-loss Power 5 conference champion was left out. That's like the last straw for a playoff. So Cincinnati needs that help. They need Alabama to lose. They need Baylor to win. So they still need help if they want. Because if it goes according to plan, well, guess what? Notre Dame's going to move up. Cincinnati and Oklahoma State's going to move up. And that's going to be a thing. So they need to win, and they got to have some help. Because if Alabama wins, that screws Cincinnati. Because if Alabama wins, they're getting in. Georgia's not dropping by four. You're talking about an undefeated team that's been number one all season long. You lose in the conference championship game. They need Alabama to lose. If Alabama wins, then you're talking about Alabama, Michigan, Georgia, and Oklahoma State. So they still need – it's not like we control – even though they're sitting at number four, they don't control their own destiny. You can slide in with the win and walk around going, hey, look at us. We made it into the playoff. It's not going to happen that way.
They should print off a certificate. Like, that's what I've been saying for weeks, is they were going to find a way at some point, if they stayed undefeated, to get into the rankings, because then everybody would shut up. They would do all the pomp and circumstance of, oh, look, what a great win over Notre Dame. And all of that, talking about how important that victory was. But, you know, in the end, if they had to choose between the two of them, you know which way it's going. You know which way it's going. Is that you're a TV show. Your Cincinnati and Fickell's done a great job. And obviously Freeman, part of that tree, now he's the coach at Notre Dame coming in. So, you know, that's great. We have everybody tied together, one close knit family. But the reality is for Cincinnati is for all of those talking points, we know that the committee 2 weeks later, they're looking at it with fresh eyes, right? And they're realizing what's the best show for us. Not what's going to get us the most blowback, because you know what? That's actually good for business. The more people are pissed at what happens here, it's better. If everybody's just happy with it, it's like there's no impetus, there's no forcing change and keeping that discussion alive. You know, if they get a pat on the back that you got it right as they leave the room from 100% of the people, what's the point? It's all about argument. It's all about consternation and finger way. I mean, look, our whole industry is based on that. That's why I yell at you when we have Boeheim openings and mocking me that nobody gives a damn about me. But the fact is that since Cincinnati's got to be praying. They got to be sitting as a group watching that SEC title game, yeah, and putting every bit of energy they can that Georgia just holds serve.
Yeah, if those winners are Alabama, Michigan, Oklahoma State, it's the three of them in Georgia. And it's likely, maybe in that order, they'd probably put Alabama ahead of Michigan, but it would go Alabama, Michigan, Georgia, Oklahoma State. Those would be your playoff teams, yeah, right there. And you're talking about Alabama, Oklahoma State, and Michigan, Georgia, and Cincinnati's going, why? What happened to us? One loss, Power 5 conference champion. That's going to do it. I mean, that it really is that that's what they absolutely need. If Georgia wins, as long as they win, it's a big sigh of relief, because now we're number four. Even if somebody does leapfrog us, we're still in. Right? Somebody can still jump in ahead of Alabama, because now you knock Alabama out, maybe it'd be Notre Dame jumping in. Then you're talking about the conversation be between, well, does Notre Dame get in, or does a Power 5 one-loss conference champion Oklahoma State get in? Which then they would, you know, they're going to pick Notre Dame because it's bleeping Notre Dame.
Well, so again, and that's the thing, yeah, right?
So again, tell me how LSU's a better job than Notre Dame. But go ahead, Mike Harmon.
But that's the point. Still the big brand, and what do we always want? It's like betting lines. You want half the bets here, half the bets here, and we make money in the middle, right? That's how you're moving the line. Same thing here. You want to be loved or hated. You don't want people to be indifferent, and that's where this comes in. And for the NCAA, this would be the greatest move to say, we thought about the kids. Because what did you hear a bunch of people complaining about all week was, oh, look what these coaches did to the kids. And once Barta, you know, implied that Brian Kelly leaving could hurt Notre Dame, and again, he's part of the team, right? So if you think that he is really worth anything to their squad, you know, like fixing a point spread, and then fixing the wrong word, but setting
a
point spread.
Yeah, you got to watch what you say there, buddy. I mean, come on, man.
You set a point spread based on the availability of a player, right? when you set that line, you're putting some value on a quarterback, some on the coach, whatever the different availabilities, right? We're looking at the Baltimore-Pittsburgh line, scratching our heads because Pittsburgh's a 4.5-point dog at home. You both got blown out by Cincinnati, so you both potentially stink. But the point being that in the evaluation, the way Barta set it up was, well, Brian Kelly's worth something. Right? He's got some value to this, but now they can totally reverse it and just say, you know what? We heard what you said. The kids did the work. The kids excelled at this high level, and they're in good hands. Look, Freeman and Reese are still there. They're ready to go, and look at the excitement. And that, again, that's why that was all taped every last second of it, that introduction. I mean, that's like a greeting card. Hey, press play. so you can be pulled into the emotion and how much they love playing together and playing for these coaches, and they're ready to win. Oh, it's one of the great sell jobs going. So that's where the committee, with all of the anger that has been put on the NCAA, lo, these many years, and I get it, separation of state between NCAA and who's actually making the decision, even though they are all member schools, etc. But the idea being that this could be about the kids once and for all. No, and it just so happens to be Notre Dame.
What about the children? Do it for the children. Help the children.
Exactly.
I was thinking of George Carlin.
Blank the children.
Twitter and how about a Fresca Mike and swollen up. That's all I was thinking of when you were saying it.
I know.
It's the children.
And obviously I had it, that my tongue firmly planted in my cheek. But in terms of trying to figure out the different rationale by which you split hairs between these teams, that's one where they could say, we really stood up for the student athlete in this one.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Meanwhile, the Lakers and Clippers, the game that was going to be on national television but now is not because it got bumped, the Clippers lead L.A. 48-40. The return of LeBron James, and I thought tonight, man, LeBron's going to be pissed. He gets bumped off of national television for the Warriors and the Suns, and Chris Paul's laughing at him and Steph Curry's laughing at him. He's going to have one of those 48-17-12 nights. LeBron James so far, just before halftime, 7 points, no rebounds, no assists, a steal, and 3 turnovers. Not exactly what the King had in mind, as the Lakers trail by 8 with 2.5 to go before the break.
I mean, come on, this is a huge matchup, unless it's not. The teams are 500 and it's the beginning of December. Who cares? Like, in the grand scheme. Like, obviously, folks here in L.A. and a lot of our friends and colleagues that work in local media in L.A. and certainly for the, you know, the newspaper writing and columns and everything, there's some value to be had here, but there's no Kawhi. LeBron's coming back after missing most of this week, and then obviously he's been in and out of the lineup for the first month and a half of the year. So it's, all right, what are we looking at here? Like, how are we evaluating? I'm seeing all these columns calling for Frank Vogel's head. It's like, he didn't put this thing together.
You know, the general manager, LeBron, did. It wasn't
right.
Frank Vogel came in and said, okay, LeBron, who are we going to get? Well, I'm going to call Russ, and then he's going to call Rich, and then, Rich is hanging out with Adele right now, but then Russ is going to call Rich, and he's going to call me, and we're going to figure it out. Okay, because I was thinking maybe, you know, people on Twitter want Buddy Hield. Well, we're not going to get Buddy Hield. I'm going to call and get Russell Westbrook, all right? That's how it's – okay, just let me know, and I'll try to figure out the best plan to make this work with you and him and AD and all the other old players we're bringing in. Okay, I'll make
it. Well, you know, the old line is that you can't fire the owner. But, you know, LeBron's technically not in ownership yet, but you can't fire him. I mean, because he put this thing together.
Yeah.
But, you know, everybody's trying to figure out where the back door is here to slink off for a little while and absolve themselves some blame. Again, as we've talked about, they were still above the fold, right, in terms of the play-in tournament last I looked. So as dire as things seem, it's a 1 week winning streak of 3 games. Suddenly look, hey, you know, things are looking right, things are going in the right direction. I mean, because the West is a mess, right? We got these two teams, and then you've got a lot of your other would-be contenders are missing one or two principal components, and some of them ain't coming back, right? Like, you look at Denver. You got Murray gone, and now Michael Porter Jr. I hope he gets right and he's ready for next season, because I mean, that you just paid him an awful lot of money, and now you got a whole nerve thing going on with him. But are they going to hang around for a full 82 plus? I mean, Nikola Jokic is going to have to be the one man gang, and yeah, he can steal that moniker from the old WWE and World Class Championship Wrestling. Yeah, superstar, no question about it. But you know, everybody's doing their hand wringing. Like, we're not even at Christmas. It's like, I don't know that anybody's ever started, you know, the pitchforks and torch routine this early.
Well, this is the reason why it's good and bad news, right? Because we told you the Lakers narrative has gone from how long till this works to how long till they pull the plug and realize that we need to do something different because this isn't working for us. Because for some reason, we're not going to allow Russell Westbrook to do what he does, what he's done for his entire career. So, yeah, it's not going to work. But the flip side of it is that nobody's really great outside of Phoenix and Golden State, right? That's it. Now, both teams are in the West, but all right. Everybody else is still trying to figure out who they are. We knew the Nets were going to be good, and they're doing what we expected. The Bulls are better than a lot of people expected. We told you the Bulls were going to be good. But everybody else is still, you know, 14-9, 13-10, 12-10, 13-11. The Sixers are struggling. The Hawks are struggling. The Knicks, the Raptors, they're all around 500. The Mavericks are 500. Memphis is 500. The Clippers are 500. Portland's 500. Denver's 500. All the teams stink. So that's the good news, is that everybody stinks. But the bad news is eventually some of these teams are going to start getting it and they're going to start playing better. But the Lakers may have bought themselves a little bit more time before they blow it up, because it's not like they're losing traction to everybody. The Suns and the Warriors are running away from everybody in the West right now. So you have to think that, all right, we're playing for third place or staying to stay out of that first round, and we don't want to play them in the first round. So we want to finish 3, 4, 5 is kind of what we want to do. We don't want to play one of those teams in the first round of the playoffs. So that's kind of what everybody is striving for right now, and that's okay, because it buys you more time to sort of get it. Now, if they see themselves losing ground and suddenly, hey, the Clippers get hot and Denver gets hot, then it becomes something different. But likely we're going to see a lot of this parity in the NBA. Usually we talk about parity in the NFL. We're going to see a lot of this parity in the NBA for a while. So the doom and gloom button for the Lakers isn't going to be pushed as quickly as you think.
Yeah, and we're going to come up with a sketch comedy show where we do parodies of all of these teams with their foibles as they go. But, you know, with the Lakers, like, trying to evaluate them at this point based on the amount of time your principal components have played together, not to mention the young guys who haven't even been available because of injury, that you're still an incomplete. The larger concern is, can you get LeBron James through a season at this point, right? The other stuff, I got to imagine, if we start getting towards winning time, which it isn't at this point, the games against the also-rans that would be at the back end of the schedule are wins as opposed to what we've seen thus far. I'd like to think, and maybe that's just me being optimistic in this holiday season. Happy Hanukkah to those that are celebrating here on the Friday night. But it's just the idea that LeBron, with so many injuries, we're starting to get one of those laundry lists. I mean, that Wikipedia entry for this year is going to be tough. Missed five games here, missed two games here, had a false positive, called everything fishy, and called out the NBA, and then got back on the court a couple days later. You know, all of those things, just little one-liners all the way through. So it's going to be an interesting narrative. I mean, many books already being pitched about this season.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. So we'll have more on this big night in the NBA, the big Western Conference Final Game 2 coming up in a bit. But as we watch Utah just absolutely boat race Oregon right now. If you thought it was going to get closer, well, if closer you meant that Utah was getting closer to 50 points, then you're correct. Midway through the fourth quarter, it is over. Utah beating Oregon 38-3. This has not been close ever since Utah returned to pick six for a touchdown. That has done it. So Utah is going to wind up beating Oregon, scratch Oregon from any kind of crazy playoff scenario. But to get into that a little bit here, because there's something really big that could happen tomorrow. You always talk about rooting for chaos, and certainly tomorrow's the day in college football, right? And last hour we talked about the help Cincinnati absolutely needs to get into the playoffs, because they need Alabama to lose, because Alabama could win and screw everything up for them, even if Cincinnati does win. But the big outcome of Saturday, and I'm not getting into too many scenarios here, but let's just say, for instance, a one-loss Oklahoma State team gets left out of the playoff, right? Let's just say the math works out. Oklahoma State beats Baylor, and they wind up getting left out for whatever reason, right? Alabama wins, so Alabama, Georgia, Michigan wins, and Cincinnati stays. Let's just say that happens. No, I don't think so. I think they're going to take a Power 5 team over Cincinnati, so that's going to happen. But let's just say a one-loss Power 5 conference team gets left out of the playoff. The immediate reaction to that is going to be an expansion to the college football playoff. And everybody who had questions about this is suddenly going to get on board. Because conferences, it was okay to try to throw out there before that, well, we have five Power 5 conferences. There's going to be one conference that probably doesn't deserve to have their conference champion go. So, yeah, all right, if you're talking about that week, all right, maybe. But now you're talking about the fact that a Power 5 team can't make it and a non-Power 5 team can make it instead. That's the big rub. If a Power 5 one-loss team doesn't make it and Cincinnati makes it instead, you're going to see everybody get on board really fast and say, yes, we're expanding the college football playoff because this could happen to me. What happened to Oklahoma State? Could happen to me next year. Ohio State could be a one-loss Big Ten team, but they weren't great. They barely beat Michigan. But no, you know what? They're getting left out because we're taking Alabama and Georgia, and we're taking USC because Lincoln Riley's, you know, he's great at 11-1 his first year. And everybody's going to see the vulnerability that we can get left out of the college football playoff. They're going to get on board with that change really fast. And all this, hey, we're looking forward to it. And you saw the story this week that the powers that be are still discussing it. They haven't come through with anything yet. And there was also a story today that from the Pac-12 saying, hey, talking about expansion in June kind of hurt the momentum. We should have waited till we had more information. All the information you're going to need is going to happen tomorrow. If a one-loss Power 5 team is left out, that's going to change everything. We got to make sure all the Power 5 champions get in. So we're expanding to at least eight, maybe more, because now we're being threatened by non-Power 5 teams. So that's not going to happen. So you're not going to have us play an incredibly hard-ass schedule where we had one loss in September, and oh boy, it was tough, but we went and beat Oklahoma, we beat Baylor, and we beat everybody else. And now Cincinnati, who plays one team and wins and has struggles all the way through the rest of their non-Power 5 schedule, they get to waltz into the playoffs? No. That's going to be the big beneficiary, the big change. We get a playoff, an expanded playoff right away because everybody gets on board really, really fast.
Well, and I mean, you mentioned it with the Pac-12 title game going down and not being much of a game. The bigger news came from the pregame presser with the new commish, and Larry Scott is gone, and now they've got to undo some of the really terrible decisions he made as commissioner. But the quote was, "We've been for expansion sooner rather than later. It's a broken system. We need to fix it." And he's going to be doing every stump speech he possibly can now that Lincoln Riley's shown up. Right, just saying, hey, you know, we're the also-ran over here oftentimes, and because, as we've talked about, you're playing games long after the cycle is done. And the first look a lot of people get are early morning repeats of whatever their highlight show of record is, or, you know, some clips in their Twitter feed. Right, that's it. That's how much they see. And they'll hear a couple of names as you get closer to any potential Heisman voting or awards, or for their NFL team, how much people are excited about a given player. So you start doing a little bit of a look-see to see what kind of schedule and what kind of player they are. But yeah, it's a system that we've watched, and why the voting and the release of these playoff rankings come under such scrutiny, and why there has to be these long press conferences if they've just won a prize fight after releasing them. Why are they third? They said, well, I tell you, a lot of debate and really head-to-head this week was really big for us, I got to say. You know, we really, the point of emphasis. And then the next week it becomes all right, that solves some of the problems for us. So good. I mean, like, 'cause that's what happened with Cincinnati getting into the top four, right? A couple of teams lost. Like, hey, there it is. Let's get them into the top four so people stop complaining for a moment. And they can move that argument and discussion to a different team as instead of browbeating us over the fact that Cincinnati's, you know, undefeated and playing as they are. So, yeah, and look, the expansion, is as much as we can try to sugarcoat it and throw all the flowery language about it, everybody's looking at how do I get a bigger pie where we get a giant slice to make more money. That's really all this is, right? And how quickly can we get that money back into our institutions to expand if we have the opportunity to do some upgrades to facilities, right? Because that was one of the Brian Kelly talking points of moving to LSU, talking about resources, and part of that is your facilities. Not that Notre Dame doesn't have great facilities, as well as your access to Chicago. I mean, come on. But the fact is you've got different people with their different agendas. And here's one thing that they can all agree on. Wait, it's a bigger pile of money? Okay, let's go.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
There is going to be absolute history in college basketball on Monday because of this result just moments ago.
Purdue survives the test from the Iowa Hawkeyes.
There it is, Purdue Radio Network. Purdue wins, and now the number two Purdue Boilermakers are going to be the new number one team in college basketball for the first time in school history. Joining us now on the hotline is head coach Matt Painter. Matt, congratulations on the win. How does it feel? First time in school history, you guys are going to be ranked number one.
Yeah, thank you. It feels great. Really happy for our players, happy for our fans. And, just need to keep getting better, keep improving, and get ready for our game Thursday against Rutgers.
How much does it mean to be number one during the season? Like, as a fan, you know, I'd like to see my team being number one because it's fun.
Right.
You know, it's fun to say, I guess, hey, my team is number one. You know, I went to Syracuse. I like when Syracuse, you know, years ago, when we could be number one a little bit. But what is it like, you know, being the coach, seeing everything that goes along with it? What does it mean to be number one?
You know, I'm probably the last person to ask since I'm technically never been number one until Monday comes. And we all know how quick it can turn, too. Like, everybody wants to go up against that team that's ranked high, especially the team that's ranked the highest. But, you know, happy, like you said, happy for our fans more than anything, happy for our players. But, you know, we want to be able to be one of the best teams, you know, in March. And we want to play well and be playing at our best at that time. I think it's a great thing to be in this position. We return a lot of guys, so we have an early ranking. We beat some good teams, Villanova, North Carolina, Florida State, Iowa. And so just proud of our guys, and you know, but it is pretty cool for them more than anything. But you also got to, you know, stay grounded and keep working and get ready for that next game.
Coach, I went to Northwestern in the early 90s, and it always felt like Coach Katie and pretty much everybody else was number one coming in playing against us. So, I'm still a champion for the conference all these years. I mean, you've got great balance going with the squad. In the game tonight, had to overcome, you know, the turnover battle. You know, normally you lose by a 2-1 margin there. Bad things happen to you. You know, how do you stick with it and, you know, just keep guys disciplined and not getting down when those kind of situations occur?
Yeah, no question. You know, we were able to get a couple key stops and make our free throws after we put ourselves in that position. And, you know, I just told the media, you feel like the old crusty coach because we weren't fundamentally sound. And then they look at you like you got horns coming out of your head. The players look at you like you're crazy, like, oh, you know, I'm not the one whipping the ball all around the court. And, you know, but just being sound and being fundamentally into it and making simple plays and moving the basketball and being able to handle that press. And now you're going to get quality possessions. When you don't, you know, you're going to get deflections, you're going to get turnovers, you're going to get sloppy, you know, possessions, and then you're going to get in that bind. We put ourselves in a great position and got up 19 middle of the second half. And then we took our foot off the gas. And, you know, you got to have a better concentration level and have a better focus and be able to put teams away when you have that kind of lead.
Now, it's kind of a moment you're having right now because you have this happening right now. You're going into the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame. That was announced a couple of days ago. And I love your quote saying, hey, I've never met a coach with bad players. You know, that kind of coach never existed. I kind of dug that when you said that.
Yeah, you know, it's true. Like, you know, you kind of go through the years and you look at those guys like, hey, man, those guys were really good coaches. Then you start to talk about, like, you know, you went to Syracuse and you start to talk about the players just in the last 50 years at Syracuse. You're like, you know, Coach Boeheim is a great coach, but he's had some great players. You know, Coach Katie was a great coach. He's had great players. Bob Knight in our state, you know, was a great, great coach. He had great players. I mean, great players. And so that's what it's about. It's a player's game. They obviously need a little direction. You have to have some order and keep everybody on the same page. But it's a player's game. And after you've been coaching a while, you know, shoot, they got to put you somewhere. So I was thankful. I'm very appreciative of it, but it's also really a team award.
Well, and to that point, right, joining Purdue in 2005, you know, the question always becomes, do the players change or do you as a coach?
I change. I've tried my best to change for today's player, for the culture, to understand things. It doesn't mean I agree with everything at all times. Mm-hmm. Because there's certain pillars of the game that's never going to change. You know, you got to be able to rebound. You got to be able to take care of the basketball. You got to put enough skill and decision makers on the court. Now, you can do a lot of different things. And as you grow into the thing that we have to battle is we have a very individualistic culture in our game. And the great ones can play with other players. And the great ones make other people better. And when they come up, they change so much. They change high schools. They change prep schools. They change AAU. Now they've made this NCAA rule where they allow people to have a one-time transfer. So now they're changing in college. So that's what the nucleus becomes, change. And the people that – who stays? Like, that's what I always tell our guys. Who stays? Like, who stares at adversity and says, man, this isn't going right, but I'm going to stay and fight and make it work? Those guys end up being successful. Those guys that say that doesn't mean somebody can have a bad experience and they can't transfer, and that's a bad thing, because it's not. But when people are just transferring to transfer and people are just moving to be moving, AAU, high school, prep school, college, what do you have? Well, you got a mess on your hands. Well, we were one of four schools that didn't take a transfer. We got our top eight back. We have some guys coming in. We had some guys sitting out. And it just makes for a good chemistry because, you know, now you're coaching guys and they're in their fourth and fifth year. You're coaching guys in their second and third year, where a lot of people are having juniors and seniors on their team, but they've been coaching them for 6 months. And that, it just doesn't work like that. You can have maybe a couple teams where it works and it's kind of an outlier, but a majority of the time you either got to have special young talent or you got to have a good group of experienced guys and have depth like we have if you want to have success.
All right, Coach, I want to make a deal with you right now here, and I think you're going to agree with me on this. You ready for this? I want to make a deal with you. It's on the radio. Everybody's listening. I want to make a deal with you. You ready?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I know you were in Blue Chips, right, back in 1994. You were in the movie. Your induction ceremony to the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame is at the end of March. If you make the Final Four, your induction speech has to be the Nick Nolte speech from the end of Blue Chips. Word for word, the Nick Nolte speech. Yeah. If you make the Final Four, that's your speech.
I think that was Pete Bell's speech. I think Nick Nolte said way better speeches than that. But that was Pete Bell's. It's actually the second weekend. The induction is the second weekend. If we can get to that second weekend, hopefully we can get further than that also. But I don't think I'll be able to make it.
Coach sent along a two-minute tape.
I'll shine off Pete Bell's speech. And if I have to do it, then I'll have it ready for you.
Coach, congratulations. A big moment for you. Number one team in the country on Monday. Congratulations. We'll let you go make some recruiting calls now to let everybody know what's going on.
There you go. All right, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Coach.
Fun.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
What's the big upset special tomorrow in college football? And I can say this, I can hopefully say this because I don't think my wife is listening, but boy, I'll tell you what, Iowa getting 11 over Michigan. Iowa's not going to win. Michigan's did you just faint that I picked Iowa over Michigan?
No. I accidentally scraped against my headset with a pen.
I thought you just fell.
No, I did not fall out.
Look, Michigan's offensive and defensive lines are too good for them to lose this game. But Iowa's defense is fantastic. They don't allow anything. Michigan's going to get a bit of a bounce after last week. How could you not? You finally beat Ohio State after 10 tries, and now you have to get back and play your best game to make sure you get in the playoff. That's how it works for Michigan. Maybe a turnover or two, and it's tough for sledding. There's a lot at stake, and there's a lot of pressure for Michigan and Jim Harbaugh to win this game. Michigan wins, but it's harder. And it's maybe one of those games where they wear down a little bit, they get a score for breathing room in the fourth quarter, but it is going to be a tough game for Michigan tomorrow. 11 points is a lot. Iowa still thinking, well, if we win the Big Ten and things happen and teams lose, maybe. Iowa's defense is really good. They can't score at all, but their defense is really good. It's going to be Michigan, but it's going to be tough. Give me Iowa and the 11.
I like the way that you abbreviated Iowa before. You know, it's I-O.
I-O.
I-O. Exactly. Look, 11's a lot of points. And really, but what we've seen from Iowa all year, can you force the turnovers? Their two losses, a combined one turnover. Michigan takes care of the football and can play bully ball right back with them. So that 11's tough to get over the top. No, I've talked for 8 years now. I've been talking about loving chaos in between the white lines. So I have to stay away, even though I think Alabama's going to win the game, because I've called for chaos so much, even at the start of this hour, I can't pick that game. I just can't.
It's hard.
Right? It's hard. No, but I'm just saying from people know I want chaos, so I'm just picking it because I want chaos.
Right.
Which means I'm going to the ACC title game of Pitt and Wake Forest. Wake Forest getting 3.5. Everybody looking at Pitt's defense and saying, sack, sack, sack. Doesn't matter when you spread things out and get the ball out quickly. And that's why Wake Forest and Sam Hartman, they're going to get it done. And they're going to put up points. They're going to score fast, and that's fine. Long, protracted drives by the Panthers. That's fine. Just toughen up in the red zone. Trading sevens for field goals, not going to be a winning formula for Pitt. Wake Forest gets the W.
Wow, look at you. And there's your ACC champ, Wake Forest. Oh, well, everybody.
Well, I mean, look, they still are on the periphery of all this chaos when it comes down to it. But, look, I do think Alabama's going to win the game. I think it's going to be potentially ugly, and I think you get some points in this one, which is really odd when we think about the SEC and we think about those defenses, but it's one that I'm certainly going to have my popcorn out for.
Oh, just think about this. Kenny Pickett is playing to either be or not be the next quarterback of the Detroit Lions. So I don't know what kind of game you're going to get from him tomorrow. Are you going to get a great one, or are you going to get, hey, you know what? Maybe if I go 3 or 4, that's a little bit better.
You didn't look like you really wanted to win that title game. Can you explain why?
Oh, no, I didn't.
And then he's got a picture of the fighting Campbells up there.
Yeah, no. We didn't have a chance to win the national title, so I don't really want to go to the Lions. I'm happy going 4th or 5th. I'm feeling pretty good about that. Mike and I do it every week. We give you our big upset special picks in college football, the NFL. We gave you our college football upsets last hour. Now it's time to turn our attention to the National Football League. 21-11 on the season. My first pick, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to take the Chargers getting 4 over Cincinnati.
Ooh.
This is the game the Chargers win, right? They're unpredictable. Let's see how Cincinnati handles success. They haven't yet. Every time they've gotten big and they started talking, they've wound up coming back to the pack a little bit. They're going to have their hands full with the Chargers in a big Justin Herbert and Austin Eckler bounce back game. Yes, the Chargers defense has been bad. There's going to be a lot of points in this one, but the Chargers weapons are just going to be a little bit too much for Cincinnati. They win a wild one, 38-34.
Look at you predicting like Mike Williams is actually going to put a dent in the stat sheet this week. Big question. Joe Mixon suddenly is running wild like Hulkamania in the mid-80s.
Yes.
Can the Chargers slow him down?
Oh, no. There's going to be a lot of points. There'll be a lot of points in this game, but the Chargers will come out on top.
All right, so you're taking the over 50.5.
Oh, yeah.
This line stood out to me as this game was put on the board. Baltimore is giving 4.5 points at Pittsburgh. And I checked. Made sure that was correct. Over-under is 44. Now, both teams got absolutely housed by the aforementioned Cincinnati Bengals, so throw those out. Ravens won a couple of ugly games in a row against Chicago and Cleveland. Pittsburgh expecting the opportunity for T.J. Watt to return. He was back last week. That didn't matter against Cincy. But Baltimore doesn't have the same, array of weapons at the disposal of Lamar Jackson. I'm going to take Pittsburgh plus the 4.5. I do think the over of 44 hits, because I think this gets a little weird, as these division games often do. But give me the Pittsburgh Steelers to ugly one up. You know, in the wake of the Chase Claypool, let's all play music.
Now, I normally don't do this, but sometimes I can't help it. And when I did earlier this year, I won on it, so I'm okay. Give me the Jets. I never pick my team, but give me the Jets and 7.5 over Philadelphia. Yes, I know. The Jets have never beaten the Eagles ever. They're 0-11 all time. But this is a bad matchup for Philadelphia, especially with the dinged up Jalen Hurts, because the Jets defensive line is legit. They can dominate the game. The Jets defensive backs are bad, but Philadelphia can't throw, so it really doesn't matter. The Jets are going to keep this game close. 7.5 is too much. I'll actually take the Jets on the field, but I'm not going to say no to the points. Give me the Jets in 7.5.
Yeah, he can throw. They just can't catch. that is certainly a problem here. Look, I do like the Bears plus 7.5, and that's not a homer pick. That's just I don't know what to expect from this team at this point. But we'll go further down the list, and I'm going to take Teddy Two Gloves. Even though Andy Reid doesn't lose coming out of byes, they're a 10-point favorite, 47. I think Javonte Williams and Teddy Two Gloves with his array of receivers are good enough to stay within the 10 points. KC wins. But give me the plus 10.